God still is there. It's a lie in our head to think that God is not there for us. It's a lie in our head that says that there's this separation between us and God. God is still there, wanting us, loving us, wanting to help us, but we don't feel it. We don't know it. We don't understand it. We can't believe it. So we get to this point, this really, really, really low point in our life where we question this. Have I lost my salvation? Now, this is a question for people who have been believers for a while. This is not for people who don't believe. This is a question for believers. You get to a point where you wonder, have I lost my salvation? Have I done enough things wrong that somehow I've messed it all up and I'm not going to go to heaven? It's all about me. What are we, the Kardashians?
Put up the cartoon.
Do you have eternal security? Do you know it? What do you need to do to go to heaven? I'm asking, what do you need to do to go to heaven? Accept Christ as your Savior. He is the Lord of your life. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything except believe in him and ask for his love, his forgiveness. When I was in seventh or eighth grade, my Sunday school teacher, I came to them and they're like, what do you need to do to become a Christian? How can I be a Christian? Oh, you have to read your Bible every day. You have to pray every day. You have to do this. Be a good person. You can't mess up. Da-da-da-da-da-da. All these rules and regulations. And I left thinking, okay, I guess I'm never going to be a Christian. I can't do all that stuff. And he was wrong. That's not what the Bible teaches. Bible's very clear. You just have to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believe it with your whole heart. That's all you have to do. God will take care of the rest. You have eternal life. If you believe in Jesus, don't question that. It's a lie if you do. Don't question it. So, these are the four lies, and there's an order to them. They kind of multiply. If the opposition is real against me, then the accusations against me must be true. And if the accusations are true, then I am definitely condemned by God. That's the lie, right? If the accusations are true, I am condemned. And then because of that condemnation, I am separated from his love for all eternity. It's like, okay, I'm guilty, so you're separating me. You're putting me in the jail of hell. And that's not what God says. So we're going to counter these with four assurances that every believer has been given in Jesus Christ to hold on to in the midst of our time of suffering. We're going to be looking at Romans 8, chapters 31 through 39, and we're going to be encountering a church-created word that has been used to explain what's going on here. This is a church word that I know very well, being a Presbyterian in my past life, and it is a church word that drives people in different churches up the freaking wall, and we're going to put it up right now. This is the word. It's not there? There it is. Predestination. Yay. Like, what's that mean? That's a big churchy word. We don't like big churchy words. We want to keep things simple. Okay, let's talk about it briefly. This is a very interesting churchy word. It's not in the Bible. It's used to explain a concept from the Bible. And what it basically says, at the root is that there is, for God, there is no time. There is no past, there's no present, there's no future. God sees it all. God experiences it all. So basically, before you were born, before you were created, before you were two blinks in your parents' eyes, God knew everything about you. God knew what choices you would make because you have free will. And God chose you, loved you, and wanted to spend eternity with you. That's what predestination means. That there was this thing way, way, way back before you were born where God says, Dave, I choose you. I want you to be with me forever. I want you to come into my kingdom and cook something wonderful for me. And there's nothing you can do, Dave. If you drop the salmon on the floor, it's not going to mess things up. God still loves you. You've been blessed by him. And people get upset because they say, well, does that mean God doesn't choose everyone? Well, God welcomes everyone. But God knows what choices you're going to make because you do have free will. So it's a mix of, well, yes, you choose God, but God already knows whether you'll choose him or not. So if you walk away from Romans 8 and 9 and as a believer in Jesus Christ and you get mad at God for this whole idea of predestination, then you don't quite understand it. And it basically just comes down to the fact that if God has chosen you, and he has, then he can never lose you. What he has saved, he will sustain, he will secure. So regardless of how you feel about God at the present time or in the future time, when you're going through those tough trials and tribulations and troubles, regardless of how close you feel to God, God is still there with you. God is still loving you, caring for you, hoping that you'll do better. God is still there. Whether you feel him or not, it's not an emotional thing. It is truth. Okay? God is there for you. Let's jump right into verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? If you look at church history, then you understand that there are a lot of people who are against us and against God. And if God, the creator of the universe, the one who designed the smallest atom, your body, all of creation, from all the billions of planets and stars and everything, the one who created everyone, everything, the one who created Hillary and Donald and Bernie and everybody. That's a joke, by the way. Yeah, the one who created it all, that God is on our side. So if you go to, I have some pictures from history up here. If you see that there are times in history where God doesn't seem to be with us, and there's a lot of things against us, whether it's being in the Roman days, being thrown to the lions, or in the current day and age when we're being killed by ISIS, and everything in between, if you feel that God is against you, then you have to realize this is not true. This is, everyone's against me, and where is God? Well, God is the one who created it all. God is the one who knows every single thing about you. It says in the Bible, God knows every hair on your head. If God knows every hair on your head, or in some people's head, no hair at all, then God knows how much you're hurting. God knows how much you need him. God is there for you. Okay? There is nothing that can ever be against us. Even in these tough times, God is still there. Let's look at Exhibit A. It says in verse 32, I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, "He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" So if God is willing to give you the greater, which is his son, he's going to give you the lesser, which is security. What do you think is harder for God to do? To give you Jesus and allow him to be killed and put on a cross, or to give you salvation? I'm going to pick on you, Andrew. If I said to, if I was told to take my son Andrew, stand up a second. Hello, Andrew. If I was to take my son Andrew and to put him on a cross and allow him to be killed for you, whether I know you or not, would you think that you were worthy of someone, of something great, if that would save your life? That's an amazing gift that God has given, to allow his only son to be killed for you. You know? And you, sometimes you just have to sit down and let the power of that hit you in your soul. Jesus died for me with all the things that are wrong with me. And I'm not worthy of that, but God did it. Wow. Jesus is the greatest gift, besides life itself. Jesus is a gift for you and for me. And the funny thing about it is, God gave us this gift of Jesus while we were still enemies of his. It wasn't like all of a sudden we became Christian believers, we gave our life to Jesus, we became good and perfect people. No. God allowed Jesus to die on the cross for you while you were still messed up, while you were still sinning, while you were still drinking, while you were still doing drugs, while you were still cheating on your significant other, while you were still stealing, while you were still lying, while you were still taking the Lord's name in vain, while you were still breaking all of the commandments, God said, "You know what? I like this person. I'm going to save them." Wow. God says, "Believe in me, and then we'll work through the Holy Spirit on transforming you into something better. But believe first, because I love you so much." Jesus is that ultimate gift. Earlier in Romans, he says this, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die." And that's kind of confusing. Let me say it again. "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die." And what that basically means is this. In Jewish culture, a righteous person is somebody who is moral. Somebody who follows the law because they know it's the law and they're a goody two-shoes and they want to be a goody two-shoes. They follow the law. That is a righteous person. And no one's going to die for a righteous person. But a good person, yeah, maybe. And a good person in Jewish culture means that you're not just righteous, you don't just follow the law, but you have the law in your heart, okay? The law in your heart says that I'm doing this not because I have to, but because I want to. And for that kind of person, you will die for. So it says basically, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But what about in God in verse 8? God shows his love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. You know, we're more than just good people. You know? And we're not perfect people at all. Even though we might be good people, we still sin and make mistakes every day. Who hurt somebody this week? Who sinned this week? Put your hand up if you sinned this week. Hopefully everybody's hand is going up. Did you? I hope you recognize that you did. And know that God still loves you anyway. And what Paul is arguing here is that even if he's willing to give you his own son, he also wants to give you everything else that's good for you. Okay? It's like God saying, here's a Lamborghini. It's a car. That's wonderful. And guess what? It's for you. Here is the keys to the car. But I'm not giving you any gas. You have to just leave it parked in your driveway. And God doesn't do that. God wants to give you all the good things that are available to you. So, there is security in that. That God wants to go to great lengths to love you and to show you his love through all the wonderful things that he has for you. And not only that, but more than anything else, he gives you security. That is the most wonderful thing God has for you. I read an article this week that for people with depression, that if you want to be less depressed, start off your day and list 5 things about yesterday that were a blessing in your life. And it begins to retrain your thoughts to thinking about the good things and not focusing on the negative. And that's a good thing to do, I think. And it's good for us to recognize in God as well. So, we get to the second question. It comes in verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. So, who's going to charge me with anything? If God says, it's okay, I still love you, you're in, you're going to heaven, buddy. You know what? If you knew me the way God knows me, I don't know what you'd say. If you knew me the way I truly am, you wouldn't want me up here telling you about God's word. He's not good enough. But God still thinks I am. Because I might have something to share with you today. And it's really this whole thing of, like, would you want to be president of the United States? Do you think you're good enough to be president? Would you want to be president? How would you feel if everybody went through your garbage and pulled up everything that's wrong and threw it on the internet and on the TV and said, look, aren't they horrible? And that's what we do to our poor president and their candidates. You know, we're just not good enough. We're not. None of us are. But we're not garbage. You know, we're not. The devil, and I believe there is a devil, is always trying to tell me I'm not good enough. I've made a lot of mistakes. And the devil's saying, you know what? God doesn't really love you. It says in Revelations, because the accuser of our brothers and sisters, the one who accuses them day and night before our God. The accuser, that's Satan. The one who accuses them day and night, 24 hours a day, Satan is there saying to God, you really want him? You really want her? Look what she's done. Look what he did today. Look what he did yesterday. Look how she hurt that person. You don't want them. And God says, yeah, I do. It makes us feel so often that we're not worthy. But are we? Do we have it? Put it up.
We got to get going.
No. Stick around. Hang out with us.
Cool. Yeah, we'll stay and hang around with you. With Alice Cooper.
We're not worthy! We're not worthy! We're not worthy! We're scum! We suck!
That's how we feel. We're not worthy, but we are. We're not scum. And we don't have to kiss anybody's hand. Too often we hear these little words inside ourselves say this over and over again, and it just drives us crazy because all we think about is we're not worthy, we're not worthy, we're not worthy. And Paul says, no, wait a minute. God loves you. God created you. God saved you. God is going to be there with you forever. And if you haven't straightened up your life yet, it's okay. You're not guilty. You see, the ultimate Supreme Court of the universe loves you, believes in you. So stop the negative thoughts. It's not your track record that's going to save you. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered because of our sin. That's what it says in the scripture today. That we are the sheep to be slaughtered because of our sin. But guess what? Jesus is the Lamb of God. And he is the Lamb that was taken instead of us. He was slaughtered. His blood was spilled. He was put up on that cross, and he takes our place. So we don't have to be there to be slaughtered anymore. We can go off to heaven and be in this great little pasture eating green grass for the rest of our lives and be happy little sheep. Yay! Happy sheep. And that's what it says in Romans 37. It's awesome. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. A conqueror gets everything, right? But we're more than that. We get everything plus, okay? Because God is for us. The fourth question, the final assurance, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is there anything out there, anybody out there that can separate us from Jesus? And he lists seven different things. Trials, seven different kinds of sufferings, of things that we will possibly encounter. And the question is asked, will any of these things separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, the idea of tribulation is like a hard-pressed thing that's coming at you again and again and again and again. Is that going to separate you from Jesus? No. Is there tribulation in your life? Possibly, but it's not going to separate you from God. How about persecution? When these people come at you and tell you that you're not worthy, that you're not good enough, when people are coming at you because of your belief in Jesus, are you being separated from Christ? No, absolutely not. How about famine? How about being without food or drink or hunger or being naked or not having shelter? Is that going to separate you from Jesus? No, Of course not. There are people in third world countries that live in shacks. There are people in New York that live on the street, and they might still have a stronger faith than we do. They might still know Jesus better than we do because they realize that God loves them regardless of where they live or what they are or who they are or what's going on in their life. What about danger? Can danger separate us? Absolutely not. It says in verse 37, no, in all these things, all the things that are listed, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. For I am sure that neither death nor life, that is no event at all, nor angels nor rulers, that is no being, whether heavenly or earthly, nor things present nor things to come, past, present, future, no time at all, nor powers, no force, nor height nor depth, no space, nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing. So, don't be so hard on yourself. When the tough times come, rely on Jesus Christ. He will be there with you through the tough times. Pray with him. Pray to him. Allow God's family to come together and be there for you, and realize you are not alone. You have God. You have the people of God's church. There is so much love for you in the tough times. You are not alone. God loves you, and you have to say, I know it. I have no doubt that God is there for me. So go out into this world. Go out into your day. Go out into your week. And allow God to lift you up and to bless you. Amen. This time we're going to take up our offering. If you have any of those connection cards you want to put in the offering basket, that is perfectly fine. We'd like to encourage you to please give to our ministry as much as you can. Help us out in any way that you can. We're in a case of transition in so many different ministries right now, and we could use your help. So please consider being on the media team or in the band or welcoming people in the morning, helping us set up and tear down. Whatever you can do, it would be very much appreciated. And please also know that Jesus loves you today. So. Let us pray. Dear God, we ask for your blessing upon this ministry as we seek to grow and as we seek to be your people in this world, regardless of how we're feeling. Lord, use us, bless us, encourage us, and may we learn from the struggles of our lives that you will always be there. In Jesus' name, amen.
We stand together, guys. We gotta close out the service.
All these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken. I've been set free, I've been set free, oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, whoa, I once was lost, but now I can see you now.
You take our failure, you take our weakness, you set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see your life in.